pray that God would minister to us, that just he would move here in this house more than just what we could do or what I could say or what we could do to respond. I want the Lord to have his way. And God knows every situation. He knows the need that you've come here with today. He knows that the things we're going through, the things we're facing, he already knows the answer. He knew the answer before we ever got in the middle of this. And if we can trust him, I believe God is going to bring us through. Amen. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I'm going to preach to us, leaving what's first. Leaving what's first. Dear God, we thank you for the moving of your presence in this house and for your touch upon us already. I pray that you'd help our hearts to receive your word today, God, that we would be challenged in our spirit, that there would be a fresh love awakened in us, that before we leave here today, we would come back to what's first. Lord, don't let us leave what's first. Don't let us forget what's first. Don't let us put aside what's first, but Lord, let it be first in our life. Our love for you, our relationship with you, oh God, our walk with you. I pray that you would remind us of what you want that relationship to be in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. God said, write this. Write this message, this direct word to the pastor of the church of Ephesus. He said, I know your works. I know your labor. I see your patience and how you can't bear them who are evil. How you've tested those who say they are apostles, but you found them to be liars. And I know how you've persevered. I see how you've had patience and how you've labored for my name's sake. And you have not grown weary. But then God says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Oh, yes, you've been faithful and you've been patient and you've stood for truth and you've labored for my name's sake. But I have this complaint against you, that you've left your first love. In other words, you've lost the depth of the love that you first had for me. How concerning to read this. The church at Ephesus, it was one of the best. And they were doing the work of God and they had been faithful. They stood for truth. They rejected false prophets. They had so much going for them, so much to be rewarded for. But in the midst of all of that, there was something that God had against them. Their love for him had grown somewhat cold. Somehow they lost that first love. It's not that they didn't love God. It's not that they weren't trying to live for him. It's not that they weren't good people. It's not that they weren't doing God's work. We see how, yes, they were doing all of that. But in the midst of all of that, the fire had gone out. The passion had waned somewhat. The fire had gone down. The intensity had dropped. They had left their first love. The intensity, the passion, in the midst of all of what they were doing for God, somehow they had lost the depth of the first love they had for him. Now, here's the thing about living for God and working for God, but being involved in the kingdom of God. Many times it's easy to find ourselves telling others about the love of God more than we experience the love of God for ourselves. Many a times we're telling everybody, hey, you need to hear everything that Jesus has done for me, and you need to read the Word of God, and you need to come with me to church, and you need to experience the love of God. We're telling others about His love and His power and His goodness, sometimes even more than we're experiencing the love of God for ourselves on a daily basis. And this is especially true for those who are involved in ministry, because it's easy to get caught up in the work of the kingdom, but then forget our own relationship with the Lord. You ever seen the landscaper who's always landscaping everybody else's yard, but you go home and see his house and the weeds are growing? Or it's the plumber who's always fixing somebody else's plumbing, and you go home and there's faucets that don't work. And it's kind of like that being a Christian. Sometimes if we're not careful, it's easy to get caught up in the work of the kingdom of God so much that we forget our own relationship with the King. And we're able to be so busy telling others about the love of God that He has for them that we aren't actively experiencing and following after His heart ourselves. Oh, it's not that we don't love Him. It's not that we don't desire to be saved. And it's not that we don't want to be part of His church. But it's exactly what the church of Ephesus went through. If we're not careful, we can lose the depth of the love that we first had with the Lord. How many of you married couples, you remember the days when you were first dating? And you would drop anything to just spend a little time, a few moments with the one that you were in love with. My father-in-law was talking the other day about how he would work 7 days a week in the oil field. But on Friday night, as soon as he got off work, he'd drive. It was a long distance. He'd drive to see my now mother-in-law. And he'd just get to see her for just a few hours, perhaps, and then he'd have to drive all the way back through the night, getting little or no sleep so he could be at work early in the morning again, but he did it for love. Before we were married, all Sister McCoy would have to do is mention that, well, I might want to go to the mall, and, boy, I was quick to come pick her up and go to the mall. Not because I wanted to be there so much, but I wanted to spend time with her. Now she doesn't even want to take me, because as soon as we get there, I'm ready to go. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Talking for hours on the phone. You see, young people, we used to have to pay for the minutes of those phones. Can you, every minute, every text message, some of y'all remember four text messages, some of y'all remember that there was one phone in the house and that was it, but talking for hours on the phone, sitting close to one another and just looking into one another's eyes and waiting on every beck and call. These are things that are easy in the beginning. They just come natural. We do them without even having to think about it because we're falling in love. But as time goes on, if we're not careful, that first love, that passion, that desire, it tends to wane. That intensity is lost. And do you remember today, or has it been too long? Can you remember back when you first received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Do you remember when you first fell in love with the Lord? Oh, come on. You couldn't wait to get to church. You couldn't wait to get to prayer meeting. You couldn't wait to tell everybody you knew about what Jesus had been doing in your life. Reading the Bible was not a chore. It wasn't boring, but you read those scriptures and you hung on every word. Oh, not even realizing the time that had gone by. Come on, has it been too long since you got lost in prayer and you maybe had 20 or 30 or 40 minutes and before you know it, it had been an hour because you didn't even realize it. You were just happy to be in the presence of the one that you love. Come on, if we're not careful, we can lose that first love and we can leave what should be first in our life and we leave it for other things and other pursuits and other love. Can I preach just a little bit today to those who are involved in ministry? You're constantly ministering to others. You're lifting others up. You're teaching Bible studies and you're encouraging those who are down. You're blessing those who need it. You're serving in the church. You're working in the kingdom of God. But oh, be careful that you don't get so caught up in serving and in ministering and in telling others about the goodness of God that you forget to experience Him for yourself. Come on, if we're going to be giving out to others, then we've got to make sure the well doesn't run dry in our own life. Because I don't want to just be giving out of my flesh, but I need a well of living water. I need a depth. I need a foundation that I can pull from as I minister to others. They were good friends of Jesus, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Jesus came by, and while Mary sat at Jesus' feet, just clinging to his every word, Martha was so overwhelmed with all of the serving she had to do. There was the meal, there were the dishes, there was the hospitality, making sure everybody was comfortable and making sure everything was perfect for the Lord. And she came to Jesus and said, Jesus, don't you even care that Mary isn't helping me? She's left me to do all of the work. Why don't you tell her to come give me some help? And Luke 10:41 reads, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, Mary has chosen what's first. And that's something that you can't take away from. I know that we need help in our kids' classes. I know that we need help on the praise team. We can always use more musicians, more ushers, more greeters, and more maintenance staff, and on and on and on. But don't forget what's first. Don't forget what's first. In fact, today, we're going to close this service without music, without musicians. And I know that means it's extra work on me because I got to get people to pray and I've got to push us and all of that. But sometimes musicians need to pray through too. Come on. Sometimes singers need to have a move of God in the altar service as well. Come on. We've got to keep the first thing first in our life. We've got to keep our priorities straight. We've got to keep our relationship with God on fire. Come on. You don't need to let it grow cold. You don't need to forget what it's like to sit in His presence and just bask in His love. You don't need to forget what it's like to spend time in prayer and let the tears roll down your face because He's just so good to you. Come on, you don't need to let too much time go by that you don't get in the Word and you just read the Word and you fall in love with Him all over again. We can't let what's first become second or third or something else in our life. We've got to keep it first. Matthew 12:29, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. It wasn't hard to see what Jesus was saying here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And before anything else in your life, the first priority, the number one thing we should be doing is to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. In other words, every single bit of us, it should love God. It shouldn't just be in our mind. It shouldn't just be in our heart. But every ounce of our being should be in love with the Lord. That should be first in our life.
So this is a little reminder today. It's a little wake-up call that maybe we've drifted just a little bit far. Maybe it's like someone who's been married for a long time. They didn't even realize that things had grown cold. But here is the challenge today. Something's got to shake us. Something's got to get our attention to the fact that if we're not careful, we could be leaving what's first for other things, for other pursuits, and for other passions. What are some indications that we're leaving what's first? What are some warning signs? What are some wake-up calls to get our attention that what should be our first love could be not first in our lives? Number one, when our delight in the Lord is no longer as great as our delight in someone else or something else. When our delight in the Lord is no longer as great as our delight in someone else or something else. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. With all thy heart. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You see, so many times we get that backwards. We have desires of our heart. And it's not wrong. God created us that way. There's things that we like. There's things that we desire after. There's hobbies and there's things that we want to partake in. But sometimes we get this scripture backwards and we try to fill our lives with all of this thinking that that's going to make us happy. Thinking it's going to make us fulfilled. Think it's going to make us satisfied. When the scripture says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And then he's going to give you the desires of your heart. If we will put God first, if we will make him the first priority, if we will delight ourselves in him before everything else, then God has a way of working on us and working in our life and providing those other things that we may desire, or maybe changing our desires so that we don't even want some of those things anymore, but we've got clarity. And we realize that, hey, there's some of those things that I desired after. It's not going to lead me in the right direction, but I've got to look to Jesus. I've got to make him first. He's number one. He's the first priority in my life. And when we find other things and when we find other people taking first priority and we're pushing Jesus to the back burner, then there's something wrong and we're leaving what's first. Two, we don't long for times in the Word and in prayer, we're leaving what's first. It's all about fellowship with God. I remember years ago, there was a young couple who got married, and they were involved in ministry, and he was a youth pastor, and she was involved in the church, and they were just young, and they had careers on the mind, and both of them worked full-time jobs, and they went to college full-time. In order to do that, he had to work nights. I believe she had to work evenings. Then they both went to school during the day. I don't know when they got to see each other. You can't make it like that. You can't make it like that. There's got to be a connection. There's got to be fellowship. There's got to be time spent with one another. And why do we think it's any different having a relationship with the Lord? We're busy. We've got work. We've got school. We've got hobbies. We've got other pursuits. And oh, yes, we come to church on Sunday morning. Usually we're a little late for pre-service prayer, and we just kind of come in, Lord, forgive me, help me, Lord. God bless the service today. And it's just kind of in passing. And the pastor preaches, and we feel God, and we worship throughout the service. And then we're on to something else. We've got to go eat. We've got to go do this. We've got to go do that. And before we know it, it's been all week long, and we've never made time for the Lord. And yes, we've come to him when we have a need. And we've come to him when there's a problem, and we come to him when we're in dire straits. But God's saying, come on, can't you make a little time for me? Because I want to talk to you as well. I want to commune with you. I want to have a relationship with you. There's no human relationship that will work without fellowship. And your relationship with God is headed for destruction if you don't make time for the Lord. If we don't long for times in the Word and times in prayer, then we are leaving what's first. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul. There's got to be more than just a little passing touch, but there's got to be a relationship. I love him with all of my soul. Psalms 119 and 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you want to hear the voice of God in your life, then you need to get in the word. It will speak to you. It will challenge you. It will lead you. It will light your way. Psalm 91 and 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I don't know what the secret place of the Most High is in your life, but I've got a place. I've got a prayer closet, and I go in that place, and I dim the lights, and I start praying, and it's small. It's not, and nobody else is in there. It's just me and the Lord, but you need that kind of relationship with him. Oh, yes, thank God for community of prayer, and thank God for church services. But you need a prayer closet where it's just you and the Lord, and you talk to him about anything, and he can talk to you, and you can hear his voice, and you can respond to his presence, and you just get lost in the Lord in prayer. Number three. When our casual thoughts don't ever reflect on the Lord, we're leaving what's first. Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. Our thoughts ought to be on the Lord. I'm not saying every waking thought needs to be upon him, but sometimes when we're not in church, when we're not reading our Bible, when we're not coming to the Lord in prayer about a need that we're going through, sometimes we just need to sit and think about the Lord. Think about his goodness. Think about his blessings. Think about his power. Think about his omnipotence. He's able to do anything. Think about how big he is. Sometimes you just need to sit and think about the Lord. I spent a lot of time the last day sitting in a deer stand. And it brought back some memories. Now, I don't know what other young men think about while they're hunting. But I remember I used to, as a young man, I'd sit on that deer stand and I'd start thinking about Sister McCoy. And I don't know what I thought. I thought how pretty she was and how much I liked to be with her. And I'm out here deer hunting, but, you know, I'd really like to be with her too. And there's a little tug of war going on there between the deer hunting and the love. It was the best feeling. You're out there waiting for a big old buck to come, and you're thinking about the love of your life. That's how it ought to be with the Lord. Sometimes you just sit there and think about his goodness. You think about where he's brought you from. You think about how he's blessed you. You think about how great it feels to be in his presence. You think about what it's going to be next time you go to church. Come on, you think about how he's going to come through and bring a miracle in your life. Sometimes you just sit around and you think about the Lord. We don't ever think about God when we're not in church. I tell you, we're leaving our first love. Number four, when we easily give in to things that displease the Lord, we're leaving what's first. Love the Lord thy God with all thy strength. God didn't call us to be weak Christians. God didn't call us to give in to temptation. Is it a sin to be tempted? No, Jesus was tempted, but he was without sin.
You're going to be tempted. The enemy knows how to tempt you. He knows what will get your attention. He knows how to attack you. You're going to be tempted, but you are not built to give in easily to temptation. Mark 14, 38, watch ye and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Oh, I tell you, if we're so in the flesh, then you're going to fail every time. You're going to fall every time, but you've got to get in the spirit. God didn't call us to give in to temptation. He called us to serve him with all our strength. How do you build up your strength? You get out of the flesh. How do you build up the strength of your spirit? You've got to let the flesh grow weak. Sometimes you got to push back from the table and you say, you know what, I'm too satisfied. I've been filling myself with too much of this world. I've got to push back so that this body becomes weak. This flesh becomes weak so that my spirit becomes strong. Love the Lord thy God with all thy strength. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This should be first. Number five, when we don't willingly and cheerfully give to God's work. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Yesterday, pulled through Sonic. I don't always eat at Sonic, but we did yesterday. And I've got this complaint with Sonic because I usually play with a card. And here you have the people come out and bring your food to you, and when you pay with a card, you can't leave a tip. And sometimes I look at you, you know, wondering if you're getting a tip or not. And so yesterday we pay, and I got to look at my billfold. I had a 20 and I had a 5. And my meal was like 10 bucks or something like that. And I thought, well, I don't know. But then I pulled out the 5. And I really waited longer than I wanted to wait. And I don't know what was going on. And then the young man came out, brought us our food, and he forgot something, had to go back and get it. And I wanted to put that 5 back in my billfold and think, you know what, a $5 tip on a $10 bill, it's really not worth it. But then something inside me said, you know what, just give it to him anyway. And I'd been watching the young man. He'd kind of been dragging around. He hadn't been working real fast. And he came back and brought me what he forgot, and I gave him that $5. And you want to see a Colt? Did his face light up? His face lit up, and he said, what's this? He said, is this for me? Is this for me? I want to tell you what, I went away from that encounter so cheerful. I was glad to just give a little bit of something like that. You know what? We ought to have that kind of heart. When we come to the Lord, we ought to just be glad to give a cheerful heart of giving. A cheerful heart of giving. I want to tell you, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And there's some times that you know you've been faithful in giving. And when you come into a financial need, you don't look to other things, but you go straight to prayer because you put God first. You put him first in your finances. You put him first when it wasn't easy to give. But you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a need, and I'll put you first. And so I stand on your word, and I pray that you would provide. If we're leaving that cheerfulness of giving, then it's an indication we're leaving what's first in our life. Next, when we don't treat our brothers and sisters in Christ as we would the Lord, it's an indication we're leaving what's first. Jesus told a story in Matthew 25 of how the sheep and the goats are going to be divided, and to the sheep, the king is going to say, come, inherit the kingdom. For when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. And when I was a stranger, you took me in. You clothed me. You visited me. And they're going to ask him, Lord, when did we do this?
In Matthew 25, 40 reads, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." It's not always easy to put others first. But there's a principle here. When we do it to the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Put God first, and it will change how we treat one another. It'll change how we treat the homeless person on the street. It will change how we treat those that we work with and those we're related to. Amen. If we're not treating others as we would Jesus Christ, then we are leaving what's first. Number 7, when we view God's commandments as restrictions to our happiness rather than expressions of his love, we were leaving what's first. John 14, 21, Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." There's something about keeping his commandments. There's something about looking at it not as, well, this is a restriction. This is out of duty. Well, yeah, my church makes me do this, and yeah, I can't do that because of my religion. That's not loving the Lord. That's not putting him first. But there's something when you say, you know what? I really love him, and so I want to do everything that he's pleased with. And he's not pleased with this, and he's not pleased with that. So I'm going to stay away from that. But I do know something that he is pleased with, and I'm going to do those things, and I'm going to follow after that because he's number one. He's first in my life. And if he's not happy, I'm not happy. If he's not satisfied, I'm not satisfied. But I've got to get close to the Lord. Come on, some of you need to stop thinking, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and my church won't let me do that and my pastor would be mad at me if I did this. No, it's all about what Jesus likes. It's all about what pleases the King. It's all about what makes him happy. Why don't you turn that around and say, you know what? I've chosen to live my life like this, and so I don't do that, and I don't go there, and I don't talk like that because I want to please Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If we seek the approval of man and of this world more than of the approval of God, then we could be leaving what's first. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, I want to tell you what, if you love the things of the world, if you love the pleasures of this world, if you're seeking the approval of this world and the approval of man more than the approval of God, then he's not first. Your love for him is not first. But we've got to wake up and realize today that if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Number 9, if we fail to share Christ and his word because we fear rejection, we may not really love him like we say we do. Matthew 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I don't want him to be ashamed of me. I don't want him to be ashamed of this church. I don't want him to be ashamed of you. And so we must not be ashamed of him. For Romans 1 and 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." If you have the answer for a worldwide pandemic, you better not keep it to yourself. Come on, if you have the solution for a problem that faces everyone in our day, you better not hold that back. And that's exactly what you have. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the hope for all of mankind, and they need it. Don't you be ashamed, but you stand tall and you proclaim truth and you proclaim the hope of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, we got to get back to our first love. We got to get back to that passion. We've got to get back to that depth. We've got to get back to that relationship with Him and tell everybody you know about Jesus. You know, when attending church services becomes a duty instead of a privilege, we could be leaving what's first. I don't know how to put it any better than David. Psalm 122 and 1, I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. Let us go into the house of the Lord. I want to tell you what, that first service back in after May or whatever it was when we hadn't had service for several weeks and we came back, I was not prepared for the flood of emotion that took over me as the praise team began to sing and the music began to start. I was not prepared for the depth of what I felt. And I realized, oh, I have missed this. This has been so lacking. Church online wasn't just the, it wasn't the same. It wasn't the depth. It wasn't the participation. It just wasn't there. But oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what we're going to face next. But I want to tell you what, we better make sure that we love coming into His presence. We better make sure that we love hearing the worship and the praise and entering in to His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. There's something about the preaching of the Word of God. There's something about responding in an altar call. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, it's time to go to church. Hallelujah. And if we're not careful, there'll be something that grows cold inside of us. And we get up on Sunday morning and we think, oh, I just want to go back to bed. And on Wednesday night, well, I'm tired. It's been a long day. And it'd just be easier to get something, drive through fast food, drive through Chick-fil-A or wherever and head home because, you know what, it's been a long day. And I want to tell you what, we can get used to that and we can get comfortable to that, but we're leaving what's first. We're leaving what's first. Our job is not first. Our schooling is not first. Our home life is not first. Those things are important, but Jesus is first. His relationship with us is first. Hallelujah. When we become complacent to sin around us, we're leaving what's first. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And because iniquity, because sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We live in a sinful world. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And the devil knows how to put it just right so that we become acclimated to it. And what would have shocked us, what would have floored us 10 or 15 years ago, now it doesn't even raise our heartbeat. Because it's just so common. It's everywhere. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's saying it. The media's portraying it everywhere. We've let a lot, sadly, we've let a lot of that into our lives through media and through social media to where now there's no shock value anymore. When we get complacent about sin around us, God's not happy with that. Sin is not pleasing to God. He will not have part in sin. We ought to get back to a place of prayer and a place of relationship with God that when we see sin, it does something to us. It makes us uncomfortable. That when we hear cuss words, it's not, well, that's just whatever. But no, there's something that grieves our spirit. When we hear a dirty joke, there ought to be something. We have the boldness to get up and walk away because that's not going to be pleasing to my God. And I want to make sure I'm pleasing to Him. Amen, amen. Come on, I'm calling this church to a renewal of our relationship with God, so much so that we get closer and closer and closer to Him and further away from this world. It's not that we can't get out of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we've got to live in another dimension. You've got to go to work, and you've got to go to school, and you've got to do these things in the world, but you've got to live in another dimension. You've got to live in an atmosphere of prayer. You've got to have the Word of God in your heart. There's got to be a worshipful spirit all of the time, so that, yes, we're in this world, and those things are happening around us, but we've got our mind on Jesus, and we're living for Him, and we're serving Him. Finally today, number 12. We're leaving what's first when we're unable to forgive someone who has offended us. 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? When we are unable to forgive someone who has hurt us and who has offended us, how can we say we love God? I don't know about you, but God has forgiven me of so much. His mercy and His grace are, I tell you, it's everlasting. It's new every morning. God is so good to us. He has blessed us. He has brought us out of so much. How can we not forgive those who have hurt us when God has forgiven us of so much? Oh, I want to tell you what, there shouldn't be a person in this city, there shouldn't be a person in this world that when you meet them, maybe by accident you run into them somewhere, that all of a sudden, oh. That should not be our response, but we need to pray through to the place that we say, I forgive them. I forgive them. It may take 6 months. It may take a year, but I forgive them in the name of Jesus. I release that hurt. I release that pain. I release that sorrow. God, heal that place in my heart. Remove any root of bitterness in me, because God, I want to go what's first, and I can't love you if I can't forgive. We're looking for an excuse to get mad, to get bitter, to be offended. We will find it. Every one of us will find it. And I just kind of feel like if the devil knows that we're prone to get offended, that he'll just help those situations happen more often. So it's better to say, you know what, I forgive. I'm not even going there. I'm not even going to let that take root in my heart, because I know it's going to destroy me. It's not even going to hurt them. It's going to destroy me. And so I'm not even going there. And that seed's not going to be planted in my heart. Oh, no. I forgive right now, and I let it go. Amen. Amen. And then the devil knows, well, that didn't work on them last time, so I'm not going to do that anymore. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Revelation 2 and 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I wonder if maybe one of these has touched your heart somewhere. 12 indications that we're leaving what's first. Surely every one of us, there was something here that, Lord, I need to work on that. God, I see things. I've got to pray over that. I've got to release that. I've got to get my priorities back. What are we to do? Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Repent. And do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. Sometimes, I
I mentioned this last week, but sometimes we get to a place that we know our relationship with God is not what it should be. But on the other hand, our desire is just, it's just not really there. We know we're not where we need to be, but we're just struggling. Sometimes you just have to come to the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I repent. I don't even have the strength to press through to where I need to be. But I know there's a better place for me, and I don't even know how to get there, Lord. I don't even know that I have the desire to get there, but I repent. I repent, Lord, for putting things before you. I repent for, Lord, for not putting you first. I repent for loving the things of this world. I repent, God, and I turn away from it, Lord, by faith. If you'll help me, I'm gonna turn away from that. I'm going to live for you and do the first works. What's the first commandment, Lord? What's the first commandment? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. God, forgive me for not loving you with all my heart. Forgive me, Lord, for letting things come into my heart that are more important than you are. And forgive me, Lord, for not loving you with all my soul. Forgive me, Lord, for not loving you with all my mind. I've got too much else on my mind. There's too many things going on in my mind, Lord. I've got to clear some room so I can think about you more. And forgive me, Lord, for not loving you with all my strength. I've been given in to the devil too easily. I've been given into temptation too easily. And Lord, this flesh is too strong and my spirit is too weak. That's got to be reversed. And I'm going to spend time in prayer and I'm going to spend time in fasting because this flesh has to be weaker so that the spirit is stronger. And I'm going to serve you with all my strength. Oh, is there somebody here today that you would hear the calling of the Lord, that you would hear the voice of the Lord? Yes, you're involved in the kingdom of God. Yes, you're working, you're serving, you're busy about the things of the church. You're doing everything you know how to do. But maybe somewhere along the way that relationship has grown a little cold. Maybe it's not the passion that it once used to have. It's not the intensity level that it used to be. But you'd hear the voice of God reaching for you and saying, hey, you're doing good, but there's one thing. You've got to get back to your first love. You've got to get back to that passion. You've got to get back to that relationship with me. Is there anybody here that you would find a place of prayer and say, you know what, God, some things are going to change today. I'm not going to be the same person I used to be, but I've got to get back. I've got to get back, Lord, to that relationship, to that fervency, to that love, God, where you are number one, where I can just sit in your presence for hours on end sometimes, Lord, because I'm just so glad to feel your touch. I'm so glad to read your word. I'm so glad to pray. I'm so glad, Lord, to be close to you. Oh, come on, would somebody just say, Lord, I repent for anything that's come before you. I repent, God, for anything in my life, any pleasure of this world that's more important to me than you are. Oh, I repent of those things right now, Lord, and I put you first. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If they'll dim those lights, I just want there to be an atmosphere of prayer in this house right now. Come on, don't worry about everybody else, but just you and God here right now. Just you and the Lord here right now. Come on, God's calling us to a place where he's first in our life.